Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
He said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." And when he had called her, she stood before him. She stood actually before Gehazi. And he said, Elisha said to his servant Gehazi, this is the context here, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all of this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' And she answered, 'I dwell among my own people.'" It's one of my favorite lines in the whole Bible. She's basically just saying, "I'm content." So Gehazi answered. Actually, Gehazi now is the servant who's got the inside scoop because he's around the people more than the man of God who's resting in with the Lord up in his room. But Gehazi's got the scoop on what's happening on the ground there. Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son and her husband is old." So he said, "Call her." And when he called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived and bore a son. And when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, and the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. And she went and she laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men back, one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." And then she saddled her donkey and said to her the servant, "Drive, go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed and she went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please now run to her, run to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?' And she answered, 'It is well.' Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Let her alone. For her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden this from me and has not told me.' So she said, 'Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?' And then he said to Gehazi, 'Get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child.' And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So he arose and followed her." Okay. It's a Mother's Day, man. That's one powerful mama right there. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child. The flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times. The child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi, and he said, "Call this Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet. She bowed to the ground, and then picked up her son and went out. And so we see the determination on her, the holiness on her. We recognize this is a woman who I believe that the Bible bears out that she has deeply longed for a child, although she wouldn't even say it. Because of the way she responds so aggressively toward Elisha when he says, "You're going to have a son this time next year," she was like, "Don't you dare say that. Don't you deceive me. Don't you do that. Don't you light false hope in my heart," is what she's saying. "Don't you dare light up some kind of hocus pocus thing in my heart because I've been nice to you and you're going to try to say something nice to me. Don't you dare do that." She's feisty, this lady. But listen, this is an image. She's a prophet. It's an image of Jesus in our lives. So the mom's determination and prayers have found favor with God, have really found favor with God, because she discerned things that weren't even asked for and took care of them. She found favor with God. It's not works righteousness. This is faith righteousness. Her faith caused her to care enough to see needs and to meet needs. And she had trust that the character of God, when her son died, she had trust that the character of God was not to cruelly take that son's life away. You know, when there are things you know, if you're a person of faith, there are just things you know. And when you spend enough time with God, when you spend enough time in his word, there are just things you know. There's something about knowing the character of God because you spent enough time to know the character of God. This is not God. This is not how he rolls. He's not going to give me a son and then take him back and put me through this grief. He's not going to do that. So she knew right from the get-go how she was going to handle the whole thing. Right? She holds a baby, holds her baby, holds her baby, live baby, live baby, live baby. Noon, the baby dies. Because of a relationship with the man of God, because of what she'd done, because of where she'd came from, she knew that this couldn't be God's will. And so she was going to do about it. The message of the cross came first, and then the man of God himself. He sent Gehazi first, and he puts the staff on him. But really, that's all prophetic of the cross. Everything in the Old Testament are all these prophecies of the cross. So he sends Gehazi out ahead of him and he puts the staff on his face. That's prophetic of the cross. Listen, do you remember that Jesus didn't just jump down off the cross and say, "Hey, I'm alive"? That there was some time between, right? So the message of the cross came first, and the man of God, and then the man of God followed. Must pass through the cross, and then the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus said, "If I go away, I will come to you." So what happened? She grabbed him by his feet, showed her absolute absence of pride. Absolute absence of pride. A double dog dare you to beg for somebody. Grab him by the feet and beg him. Say, "I will not let go of you until you fulfill my need." What an amazing, courageous, loving, faith-filled woman. And those feet represent Jesus' feet, and I can feel the sticky blood on them as she grabbed them. And I'm not saying the prophet was Jesus or anything like that, but the representation of it was that she would have been, those were the feet that would represent Jesus Christ, that would have nails placed into them as he died on the cross for our sin. This is so filled with Jesus, this story, it's not even funny. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in both heaven and earth." Then Gehazi said, he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready, take my staff in your hand, and go your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet them. And if anybody greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on his face." It's really great. I love that, because when Jesus sends out the 70, he says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one on the road. Isn't that funny? Don't say anything to anyone. Why? Because he's representative of God's power, of God, an angel for all intents and purposes, of God's power. I don't want you to speak to anybody. "Oh, yeah," Gehazi says, "yeah, I'm carrying this staff here, my master here, and I'm going to put it on a boy's face, you know, because he's going to raise him from the dead," you know, and get into some kind of gossiping thing, take people's faith away. He says, don't talk to anybody, anyone, greet anybody coming. Don't, and if they greet you, don't say hello even back. Just take the staff and put it on his face. Amazing. But that's what Jesus said when he sent out the 70. Don't say anything to anyone. There's a time when God wants you to zipper it. Don't tell everybody in the world, the Lord told me this, that, the other thing. Just zipper it. Just do what God told you to do. Just go your way and do what he told you to do. Not everybody has to hear about it. An order direct from God. It's how angels answer prayers. A lot of times your prayers are answered by somebody you don't even know they were coming. It's a complete surprise. It's happened to us how many number of times over the years that God will come and just answer a prayer through a doorway that we didn't even know. No fanfare, no buildup, no anything like that. Just God answering prayers. That's amazing. Okay, when Elisha gets there, he closes the door. Right? Did you remember that? That's why I read the whole story first, because you've got to remember it. Elisha gets there, they go back, they're following his servant. Elisha gets there. He goes in the room with the dead boy on the bed. He goes in the room and he shuts the door. Okay? The Bible makes sure of saying how he shuts the door. It's interesting. Why did he say he shut the door? Did he say he wiped his feet? You know, it doesn't say he wiped the feet. It doesn't say, you know, he greeted the master of the house first. Doesn't say a lot of things. What it says is he shut the door. Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Listen, folks, that's called prayer. Shut the door. It's prayer. I don't need to hear you praying. Your life will be an indication to me if you're praying or not. I'll see it. We'll know. Because God will reward you openly. Shut the door. And then you can say what you really need to say anyway. Those things that you don't want to say to anybody, you don't even want to confess to God, you're so ashamed of them. Or so fearful even to ask God for something that big or wonderful. You go to him and shut the door. Jesus said, go into the secret room, shut the door. All right, it also, you have to think of Jesus going into the tomb and the tomb being sealed. I think when he goes into the room and shuts the door, I think you have to, your mind has to remember that the tomb was also sealed. And somebody who was dead was going to be coming back out alive. Yeah? Right? You know, it's the child lying dead are the people who in my life have come up to me and said, well, that relative of mine will never get saved. That friend of mine will never get saved. No, you don't know them. Listen, when you see that person, you say that that person's dead. There's no hope for that person. That's that child lying on the bed. He's dead. That's right. That's death on that person. The thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. That's right. They're dead. That's right. They're dead. They're not alive unto the Lord. They're not alive in their spirit. They're not alive. They're dead. They need Jesus. That's why we have to preach the gospel. So this is, and this is the thing that, I don't know, sometime, maybe in the middle of the night, I said, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, stretched out on the child. That is so filled with prophetic imagery that it is amazing. It could only come from God, because it's a perfect picture of Jesus. It shows, number one, cause of human death is first spiritual, second physical. You know, I guess you grind your human body in a meat grinder, you're probably not going to walk around very well. But the essential cause of death is spiritual, it's not physical. That's why Jesus could take a dead child and bring that child back to life. Because death is essentially a spiritual condition before it's a physical condition, before it's the cessation of the function of your body. Jesus' words, his mouth on mouth is first, okay? So first of all, remember he said mouth on mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. Mouth on mouth represents Jesus' words. Jesus' words being spoken into that young boy. Mouth to mouth is Jesus' words, his essence of his life, his words being spoken into that young boy. His words, his breath, though we know the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. By doing that, putting his mouth on the boy, the dead boy's mouth, he was literally drilling into the center of the universe, of the existence of the universe, the seat of death, where Satan reigns from and was disrupting everything. It's like the master, the God of all creation, his mouth is upon death and is breathing into death. And all of a sudden, you got some demons who are starting to get riled up because they're about to be evicted, by the way. So it was like a drill. I saw it as like an oil rig drill to the center of the universe, the seat of death, to begin to agitate the devil, because the devil has come to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. First thing Jesus is doing is mouth to mouth. It's God's word. John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. That's Jesus, mouth to mouth. Matthew 4:4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus, mouth to mouth. And then Mark 11:22 is the other way, because now once Jesus has spoken his word into you, then you begin. Your responsibility is to speak the word of God outward. He speaks it into you, you speak it outward. And Jesus said, have faith in God, because surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. So therefore, God speaks into you, mouth to mouth. You speak his word, and what you say comes to pass. Are we good? Eyes on eyes. So first of all was mouth on mouth. Second was eyes on eyes. John 3:30, John the Baptist speaking, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who has come from heaven is above all, and what he has seen and heard, he testifies. When you're eye to eye with Jesus, now listen, you are completely being absorbed into Jesus Christ through this process. You're beginning to see things as he sees them. And through his words, you learn to see the world through Jesus' eyes. Because he's been above. He comes from above. He's been above. He sees how things work from above and what he teaches. And as we learn to see as he sees, as he looks into us and sees what's in us, which is not very good, and that stuff is exposed through repentance, then we learn to see as he sees. And as we see as he sees, we begin to discern the world even as he discerned it. Just a couple scriptures. And seeing the multitude, he went on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Jesus, seeing the multitudes. Do you see the multitudes? See, if you're eyes to eyes with Jesus, you see the multitudes. Do you see the multitudes? Does your heart move? Or is your heart moved for the multitudes? And seeing the multitudes. You see, if you're eye to eye with Jesus, you're seeing the multitudes. You're seeing the lostness of the world around us. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, eyes to eyes. Jesus said, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That means don't be ashamed of Jesus. Let people see your good works and attach Jesus' name to them. Good works by Jesus. Listen, I want you to see as Jesus sees. It's the point. It's the point. Your mouth is to his mouth. You're seeing as he's seeing. And the third is your hands to his hands as he stretched out on the young boy's body. His hands to hands. Now, number one, folks, if you don't see that as a picture of the cross, he stretched out on him. He puts his hands to his hand, his mouth to his mouth, his eyes to his eyes, and he stretches out on him. It's a picture of the cross. That's how close you got to get to Jesus. That's how close you got to get to Jesus. And it says, Jesus' body heat warmed the dead body. Jesus' body heat warms the holiness, the purity, the love, and the kindness of Jesus' body warms the dead body that you are. The death that you carry in you, the hatred, the spitefulness, the resentment, the jealousy, the anger. It's prophecy of the cross, first of all. Jesus stretched out. The closer you get to Jesus, the more he warms you. You start feeling good inside. You feel in love. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. Hands to hands, eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the only Son of God. Jesus is moving in. He moved into that woman's house. Now he's moving into that boy's body. Galatians 5:24 says, those who are Christ have been crucified in the flesh with its passions and desires. If I do not experience full body contact with Jesus, you're not close enough to get warmed by his holiness. You will think that holiness is cold hardness. You don't know that holiness is life. You think that holiness is some religious cold hardness. But holiness is life. It's the warmth of Jesus' body. Most people do not know the warmth of holiness. Only the death of the flesh. They think that Christianity is the death of the flesh. Walk around as a dead person. Be good until maybe I go to heaven. It's not it at all. It's the most warm thing you've ever had in your life. It's the most deep, warm love. Ah. A lot of people, God feels like a prison. And they accuse God of being a prison. God is freedom. Second thing his hands represent is doing what he does. Okay? So his hands represent us, the cross, us with him on the cross, but our hands also represent doing what he does. We don't do what he does. Matthew 7:24, whoever hears these words, these sayings of mine, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fail, for it was founded on the rock. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's hands to hand. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And he said, they were astonished at his teaching, because he taught as one having authority, not like the scribes. Jesus just said, this is how it is. You build your house on the rock if you do the word of God. You're building your house on the rock. Every storm in the world is going to come against you. I'm telling you now, you're going to get beat down like crazy, but your house is going to stand. Hands to hands. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. 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 Hands, that's hands, doing. Do good to those who hate you. He laid upon him eyes to eyes. We see through him as a lens. Jesus, we look through him as a lens at all of life. We see as he sees, we see what he sees. The world is cleansed to us through his eyes. Mouth to mouth, he speaks his words. We receive the breath. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and through us. And now we speak his words. Preach the gospel. Our words, our breath become as his words and his breath. And finally, hands to hands. Do what he does. You have crucified hands. You have nail prints in your hands. Do good. Suffer the little children to come to Jesus. Feed the poor. Uplift the downcast. Do what Jesus did, what he does. Full press Jesus, body to body, no space in between. Let him warm you and bring you to life, as he did that young boy.
Thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. My name is Jake Johnson. Pastor Bob shared a great message today entitled Holy Spirit Resuscitation. Pastor shared a passage out of 2 Kings where the prophet Elisha revived the Shunammite woman's son who had died. Pastor showed us that the prophet Elijah was a picture of Jesus to us. We are caught dead in our sin, yet Jesus comes and makes contact with us through the cross, our eyes to his eyes, his mouth to our mouth, and his hands to our hands. And in response to that, we see what God sees, we say what God says, and we do what God calls us to do. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have never had that moment that Pastor shared about where God is so close to you, he warms you with his love, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on a cross to forgive me of my sins. I give you my whole life and trust you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Father, thank you for giving Jesus as a sacrifice for my sin. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, find a Bible-believing church, and start a prayer life. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can also follow us on Facebook. Watch our Facebook Live videos, and you can donate to support the work of On Fire Radio and Catskill Mountain Christian Center at www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.